To introduce our lesson for this evening, we want to read a verse from the Psalms. So please turn to Psalm 127, and we want to read verse number 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. This verse says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." According to this verse, God considers children to be very special. And I hope you notice that those two songs that we sang indicate the same thing. God considers children to be very special. And for a little while this evening, we want to concentrate on what I believe is a timely lesson for Mother's Day. This morning, we studied a number of passages that have to deal with honoring our mothers, and certainly that's a very important responsibility. But there are some additional matters that we need to consider that I believe Mother's Day is a timely occasion for us to do so. We want to search the scriptures to determine when life begins, and as a result of doing that, we will know how God feels about abortion. Abortion is receiving a lot of attention at the present time. If you've turned on the news lately, you've heard a lot said about it. You've seen protest. You've heard things being said that don't need to be said. But this subject is receiving a lot of attention at the present time, and we need to know what the Bible teaches on it. And by looking at a number of passages, we will know how God feels on this subject. As unpleasant as it might be, we need to know what the Bible teaches. Quite often when I'm studying a Bible subject, I like to go back to the beginning and see what it has to say in the Bible from the creation. I want to consider the law of Moses in Old Testament history, then I want to consider what the New Testament has to say. Sometimes that's the formula that I use when I'm studying a particular subject. Well, that's the formula that we want to pursue as we deal with this subject this evening. So let's look at a few passages from the creation. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter in the Bible. As we examine a verse or two from this particular chapter, we see that God, in the beginning, gave life to Adam and Eve through miraculous means. Now, this was at the creation. Genesis 1 in verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, this was on the sixth day of creation. We read about the various days of creation in this chapter. But God completed his creation by making man. And when he did so, he made male and female. Now, some additional details are given to us in chapter 2. Let's read about the creation of Adam. Genesis 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." When day 6 concluded, God looked at everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, according to Genesis 1 and verse 31. But before the creation was complete, God saw that there was something that wasn't good. After he created Adam, he said it was not good for the man to be alone. God took care of that. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. You will notice from these verses that at the creation, God gave life to Adam and Eve through miraculous means. But after God created Adam and Eve through miraculous means, he provided natural means whereby other lives come into existence. Let's go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 28. We've already read verse 27, which shows that God created Adam and Eve in his image, but then he gave them some instructions. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. After creating Adam and Eve through miraculous means, God gave them instructions to be fruitful and to multiply. That is, he provided natural means whereby other lives come into existence. And let's look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Genesis 4 and verse 1 says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So Adam and Eve came together physically, and Eve conceived, and eventually Cain was born. So the point that we want to make, at the creation, God created Adam and Eve through miraculous means. But after having done so, he provided natural means whereby other lives come into existence. So from the creation, we learn how life began, and we know how life begins today. But at this point, do we actually know when life begins? No, we have to go further. So let's go from the creation to the law of Moses. And as we do so, let's read Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25. Now these verses deal with punishment for someone who is involved in a particular activity. But as we consider that, we're able to learn some information about how God considers the unborn. Exodus 21, starting at verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now these verses deal with a situation in which two men are fighting, and a pregnant woman is injured. Now you could see how that could happen. Two men are involved in a scuffle, and probably the wife of one of the men gets involved. That would be sort of a natural thing to do, wouldn't it? I've often thought if I was in that situation, I know who would have my back. My wife would be right there with me. Of course, I don't want to be a fighter like this. But this is dealing with a situation where two men are involved in a scuffle. A pregnant woman gets involved. She's injured. And her injury causes her baby to be born prematurely. Now, if there was no mischief that followed, that is, if the baby was not harmed, then the man who injured her would pay a fine. However, if any mischief did follow, that is, if the baby was injured, then the man who was responsible for the injury would be punished accordingly, even to the taking of his life. Now, there are a few statements that everybody knows are in the Bible. Everybody knows that the Bible says eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. I've learned a long time ago to ask people who know that to identify the verse where it's found. And normally that can't be done. This is one place in the Old Testament where the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It has to do with the punishment of someone responsible for a pregnant woman being injured. That injury causes her baby to be born prematurely. If that baby is injured, then the one responsible for it would be sorely punished, even to the taking of his life. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn from these verses in the Law of Moses that God was very concerned about the unborn. But we still do not know exactly when life begins. We've examined the creation. We've examined the Law of Moses. Let's turn our attention to some additional passages that have to do with some of God's great servants. I know you'll be very familiar with these people that we mention. Let's start with David. As we do so, let's look at one of his writings, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, let's read verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, starting at verse 13. Now this is David speaking to God. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. This is one of my favorite psalms of David. And if you look at it very carefully, you will see that David concluded just how well God knew him. And he indicated that no matter where he went, he was unable to escape God's presence. He went so far as to say that God even knew him when he was in his mother's womb. When the various members of his body were still in the development stage. He said, all of that was written in your book. He said, God saw this. This is some very helpful information that helps us to know when life begins. David knew that God was very much aware of his condition as he was developing in his mother's womb. Let's look at Jeremiah, another great servant of God. Jeremiah served as a prophet during a very difficult time, but he did his work well. Let's notice something in the introduction to his book, Jeremiah chapter 1. We want to read verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God ordained that Jeremiah would be a prophet before he was born. Now, according to the first part of verse 5, who was it that formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb? I think you see the answer to that question. Like David, Jeremiah knew that God was very much aware of him as he was developing in his mother's womb. God had a plan for Jeremiah, that he was to be a prophet. I believe that these two servants of God, David and Jeremiah, give us some very useful information. Let's consider something else that was written by a medical doctor. I'm referring to the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke is referred to as the beloved physician. In other words, he was a medical doctor. And it's helpful to keep that in mind when you study his writings. Luke wrote primarily for the benefit of Gentile people. And let's consider something that he wrote in connection with John. I'm referring to John the Baptist. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. And we will start at verse 39. Remember that Elizabeth was informed that she was going to give birth to a very special child. In the meantime, Mary learned that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. She went to visit Elizabeth. And let's read about it. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe or baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I want you to notice from these verses that when John was still in his mother's womb, he is referred to as a babe or baby. And from what took place, it seems apparent to me that John had some awareness of what was going on around him. Now, Teresa and I do not have any children, but I have been around plenty of ladies who have had children. And I understand that when a baby moves or kicks, it's rather uncomfortable. I can remember my sisters-in-law, all of a sudden, once in a while, they would grab their abdomen and you knew something was taking place. Well, that's just part of the baby developing. John heard the salutation of Mary, and he leaped in his mother's womb. Now, it had been prophesied years earlier by Isaiah and Malachi that the Lord would be preceded by one who would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. That prophecy was coming to pass. Elizabeth is pregnant with John. And I want you to notice that God used Luke, a medical doctor, to refer to John as a baby when he was still in his mother's womb. But let's go just a little bit further. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. Jesus was born, and an angel announced this good news to the shepherds. And I want you to notice the statement that Dr. Luke recorded. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe or baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, what was John called when he was in the womb of Elizabeth, his mother? A babe. Jesus has been born at this time. Where would he be found? Lying in a manger, but he is referred to as the babe. Same word that is used to refer to John when he was in his mother's womb is used to refer to Jesus after he's been born. Look also at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now this same word is used in Luke chapter 18, but it's translated infants. We would probably use the word toddlers. Luke 18 and verse 15. Now Jesus is fulfilling his ministry at this time. This verse says, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Here a number of people brought their little children to Jesus so that he would bless them. The same word that is translated infants here is used to refer to Jesus as a babe after he's been born, and it's used to refer to John when he was still in his mother's womb. Now, man considers a baby to be alive after it is born. But God used a medical doctor, Dr. Luke, to show that he considers a child to be alive when it is still in the womb. What's our conclusion? Now, we're looking at verses to help us understand when life begins. These scriptures are very clear. We conclude from these scriptures that life begins at conception. And God considers the taking of an innocent life to be a serious offense. I've been seeing a number of people lately making protest, and I've noticed that the ones I have seen, and I know that pictures on television can be manipulated to show certain things. I'm very much aware of that. And you have to be aware lest you jump to conclusions and think that more people are involved in these protests than there actually are. But I've heard some of the most hateful things being said. I've read some of the most vulgar signs. And that causes me a lot of heartache to think that people in our great country have become so filled with hatred. A man who happens to be pro-life was asked by a lady who was pro-choice why he hates women. I would ask her, why do you hate children? God considers the taking of an innocent life to be a serious offense. Now, in closing, I want us to try to think about how much good has been accomplished because certain mothers that we read about in the Bible did not choose to abort their children. Let's go back to the beginning. You're very familiar with Adam and Eve transgressing the will of God. God told them that they could eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they ate that fruit, they would die. Satan, operating through the serpent, tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. She ate some and gave some to Adam, and he ate it as well. At that point, they transgressed the will of God, and God punished everyone involved. He punished the serpent, he punished Eve, and he punished Adam. But when he punished Eve, actually when he was punishing the serpent, Eve was involved in the promise. God made a very special promise concerning the coming of the seed of the woman. That's very important. Genesis 3 and verse 15. Now we've already read where Adam and Eve came together and Cain was born. Eventually, Abel was born. Abel was the righteous one. Cain killed him. But there was a promise made before that involving the seed of the woman. I don't believe that God was going to carry out his promise through Cain because he was so evil. Abel at this time is dead. I'm glad that Mother Eve did not make the decision to abort her son Seth. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Actually, Genesis chapter 4. And let's read what happened. Genesis 4 and verse 25 says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew." I think it's interesting that in Luke's gospel in chapter 3, there's a genealogy of our Lord going all the way back to Adam. You want to know who's number two on the list? It's at the end, Seth. I'm glad that Mother Eve did not make the decision to abort her son Seth, because eventually Christ came through his lineage. Isn't that interesting? I've tried to put myself in Eve's position. It's difficult for me to do being a man. But she could have reasoned like this. "You know, it hurt me so much to lose my son Abel. I don't think I want to go through that again." And she could have chosen not to have Seth. Think about all the good that's been accomplished because Eve gave birth to Seth. Let's fast forward just a little bit in time and think about Sarah. Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and she made the decision not to abort Isaac. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, let's begin at verse 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Can you remember how old Sarah was at the time? She was 90 years old. She could have reasoned like this. "You know, at my advanced age, I don't know if I want to be involved in carrying a child." But she knew that child was a gift from God. God had promised that Isaac would be born. And Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. Well, once again, you know who Isaac is. He's the son of Abraham, and he is in the lineage of our Lord. Let's fast forward quite a bit of time to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, we want to notice what's written in verse 20. "Now at the time, the children of Israel had developed into a great multitude of people in Egypt. But Pharaoh was abusing his people, And God was making provision for the children of Israel to eventually have a leader. Let's read about Jochebed. If you're not familiar with Jochebed, she was the mother of Moses. Exodus 6 and verse 20 says, "And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years." Think about how Moses would eventually bless the children of Israel as the greatest leader that they ever had. Think about how much good was accomplished because Jochebed did not abort Moses. By the way, Pharaoh had issued a command that the children of Israel were to cast their male children into the river. They were allowed to have the little girls stay alive, but the little boys were to be cast into the river. Jochebed might have reasoned like this, you know, I guess I ought to do what the king says. But she had respect for God and his will. She did not abort Moses. Years later, the children of Israel needed another leader. God took care of that. And let's read about the birth of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20. Now this is an interesting situation. Hannah's husband had another wife as well. The other wife had children. Hannah had no children. And the other woman provoked her, so much so that she was just really upset. But she prayed that God would give her a child. And let's read about it. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 20. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." What a beautiful name. It has a very special meaning. Imagine how much good was accomplished by Samuel. And a debt of gratitude is owed to his dear mother Hannah. We've already read about Elizabeth. Think about how much good John accomplished. It goes back to his mother Elizabeth. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? You know, she and Joseph were not married when she became pregnant. They were espoused, but they had not consummated their marriage. It would have been easy for Mary to reason that maybe she shouldn't carry that child. But she knew that there was a very special child in her womb, and she had respect for God and his will. How have we been blessed because Mary gave birth to Jesus? And I want to mention one other. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and read verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now this letter was written by Paul the Apostle. It was written to Timothy, who was a preacher of the gospel. Those two men were very close. Timothy was quite a bit younger than Paul, we believe. And they had a very close relationship. Let's notice what's written in this verse. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice," or Eunice, "and I am persuaded that in thee also." I always like to make this observation. You know what we know about Timothy's father? We don't know his name. He was a Greek. That's why Paul had him circumcised, so that he would be able to go into the synagogue and preach. That's all we know about Timothy's father. But we know that Eunice gave birth to Timothy. And I'd like to know how many people he influenced during his life. We have been blessed abundantly because Paul wrote him two letters. How much good has been accomplished because Eunice or Eunice did not abort Timothy? I know that this is a controversial subject, and I know that emotions sometimes get in the way. But I believe it's high time that we stood up for what the Bible teaches. These verses have been around for a long, long time, and I just wish more people believed them. But I do know this. I know that on that last great day, we're going to be judged by what's written in this book. Not by what someone thinks. We're not going to be judged by what someone believes. We're going to be judged by what's written in these books. And God reveals His will concerning the state of the unborn. Well, I appreciate your good attention. You've listened well. This is not a pleasant subject by any means, but it is receiving a lot of attention at the present time, and we need to know what the Bible teaches on it.